It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We're going to have a moral, social, spiritual discussion today. We're going to think through an issue together that is in the public eye. Everybody's talking about, but we want to try to come at it from a different angle today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. The number to call. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. I'm talking about the nomination of our president, of Elena Kagan, Dean of Harvard Law School, Solicitor General of the United States, to the potential position of Supreme Court Justice. Being just 50 years old, that would mean presumably she could serve for decades and decades. The question is she qualified? But here's why we're going to talk about it on The Line of Fire today, and I'm going to bring up a larger issue. Is she a practicing lesbian? If so, does that matter? If so, does that factor alone exclude her in your thinking? And is it something that Congress should bring up? Can they even bring that up? Really, they have to just discuss her record. But should this be known? When she was put forward as a potential candidate for the nomination some weeks back, people began talking and said, oh, wonderful, this would then be the first openly gay judge on the Supreme Court. And the administration immediately rebuked that, and who's saying that, and where are you coming with that information? Whereas in other circles, they said, well, no, of course, this is known. It's openly known. It's not a secret. Can you be a good judge, a good Supreme Court judge, male or female, as a practicing homosexual? Can you be moral in many other areas and be a practicing homosexual? That's a broader question. Can you be a good boss, a good parent, a good teacher, a fine business person, a good athlete, and be a practicing homosexual? In other words, where would one draw the line as to when this would potentially disqualify someone? And again, do you think that if she is a lesbian, that she should just come forward and say so? And whether she is or not, she has to be judged on her record. But would that affect things? Would it be prejudicial if that did affect things? What if she was heterosexual, never married, but was promiscuous? She had a number of relationships with men over the years that she was never married to. What if some of them were married men and she was committing adultery? Would that matter? Or is there something especially taboo about gay, lesbian issues? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, there's a whole other set of issues, which is a little bit beyond what we're going to talk about here, because I want to focus on the spiritual, moral side. There is the other question of her being qualified. She's not a judge. She's never heard a case in her life. She hasn't been an attorney for law cases, so that she hasn't argued cases. That's not been part of who she is in terms of her general life, and in particular, has never heard a case as a judge. So you're gonna take someone from nowhere to the most important judicial position in the nation, one of the most important judicial positions in the world, one where potentially she could affect policy and decision in America for decades to come. I mean, we're talking into the lives of our kids, grandkids, because she could be there, 40 years, theoretically. That's a worthy question, and one that I'm sure will be thoroughly discussed by Congress, but that's not the question we want to focus on. Now, there is an article on Fox News. We have a link. If you go askdrbrown.org and click on The Line of Fire, you'll have a link to a couple of relevant articles. And this is on Fox News, an analysis. Who is Elena Kagan? First, her bio. She's obviously a brilliant woman. and served in many ways successfully as the dean of the Harvard Law School. That's pretty heady stuff. That's pretty serious stuff. And according to the report here in Fox News, was able to bring together a somewhat divided faculty at Harvard Law School. But Harvard Law School, for almost 25 years, protested against the military's policy that homosexuals could not serve openly in the military. So by federal law, if you receive federal funding as a college, then you have to allow military recruiters on the campus. It was only under pressure from President Bush in 2003 that Harvard allowed that again, because almost a quarter of a century, as many colleges have become, they become bastions of quote, gay rights. Harvard said no military recruiters on our campus. We want federal funding, but we don't want military recruiters on the campus. Well, finally, under pressure from the Bush administration, they had to change that policy. But when Elena Kagan became the dean of the law school in 2003, she spoke out. That there was a gathering of gay and lesbian Harvard Law alumni, and in 2003, she spoke out against the policy and said, "The military policy that we at the law school are overlooking is terribly wrong in depriving gay men and lesbians of the opportunity to serve their country." She said, "The need to create this exception makes me and makes almost all of the members of the Harvard Law School community profoundly unhappy." So the fact that they had to allow military recruiters defending our nation, seeking to get more people recruited into the military, that they were required to allow them on campus, was something that made her, many of her colleagues, very upset. That would be something that would raise a question to me. If someone has a view that strong that they've spoken out against it that forcefully, where are they going to stand on other issues? Now, here's the other thing. Because she hasn't tried cases and she hasn't written a lot of things that would give us an idea of where she's coming from, there's no paper trail. There's no ability to assess where she's going to come from on different points, except to say that liberal groups are by and large praising the appointment and conservative groups are raising questions. So again, does it matter if the woman is a lesbian? Isn't her private life private? Why do we need to know? Was this gossip column time? Or does someone's private life affect the way they make public judgments? Do we need to know that? Let me throw out a few other factors here. Mayor Ed Koch was reelected as mayor in New York City, and for the most part, as much as you can be in New York, fairly popular. I mean, New York's always going to be vocal in its criticism. There was always speculation that he was gay. He never came out and said that he was. He continued to live his life and completely ignore the issue. And by all accounts, you judge him based on what kind of mayor he was, not concerning his private life or his sexual orientation. So this would be one argument. There may have been other leaders that we've had in the past, maybe a congressional leader that was single and discreet about his or her private life. And then you find out many years later, maybe even after they die, maybe some mayor in your hometown, whatever. This person was very effective and seemed to make good judgments, seemed to care for the people. The fact that they were privately homosexual, no one knew, and that was not the issue. Or let's take someone that's on the news or a newscaster. Would it affect you if you found out that a famous newscaster was actually a practicing homosexual? It's pretty much a known thing in the homosexual community that Anderson Cooper on CNN is gay. There tends not to be much discussion about that. Does that affect it? You know, hey, either you like his newscasting or you don't. Either you like his positions or you don't. But his private life is private. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me go a little further. What about an actor or an actress? The man who played Grandpa Walton, Grandpa Walton on Little House on the Prairie. Or am I thinking the Waltons? I'll get that. I'm not an expert on these shows. I'll get it right. Was it Will Greer? I don't think there's much dispute that he was a practicing homosexual. Yet here he appeared in a very moral family TV series with lots of edifying themes. Would that mean that you couldn't watch that anymore? I mean, look, who knows how these actors or actresses are living privately? Many of them are promiscuous. Many of them are immoral. What does it matter if someone just has a different sexual orientation on top of whatever other issues there are? They're acting there. So I'm throwing out these different questions. I know you can't compare an actor and a newscaster to a Supreme Court justice, but does this matter? Are we getting worked up over nothing? Should we know? We'll talk about it and a few other things I want to get to. 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think? Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me, go to askdrbrown.org. Just click on contact. I want to make clear for our new listeners that this is not a political show. This is not a conservative right-wing show. When we talk about political issues, we do so based on biblical principles. We raise kingdom issues, kingdom values, biblical principles, and based on those things, discuss issues that are happening in the news. So I am not registered as a Republican or a Democrat, nor do I have a tremendous amount of faith in the political system in itself, because there are a lot of problems because it comes through human beings. So we're talking today not about a Republican-Democrat issue, but a moral issue, a spiritual issue, namely President Obama's appointee for Supreme Court nomination, his nominee, Elena Kagan. By all accounts, a brilliant woman, served successfully in many ways as dean of the Harvard Law School, a woman who's never been a judge, never tried a case, suddenly being elevated to the highest judicial position in the land. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that many circles say it's openly known she's a lesbian. Should that be an issue? Now, what's so amazing is that she vociferously opposed the military policy of don't ask, don't tell. She was absolutely against this notion that gays could only serve in the military if they did so in a secret way, and if their sexual orientation was known, then they were booted out. And yet, people are telling us, well, let's have a don't ask, don't tell policy with her. let's say that, well, hey, she serves, it's not known, it's not an issue. Should it be an issue? Should we know? Number one, does it cloud her moral thinking? Would this immediately prejudice her towards gay lesbian issues? What if the question of same-sex marriage gets to the Supreme Court, which it looks like it could well happen? What if she got to vote on it? How would you feel about that? Or would she have to even show even all the more that she's not going to side that way for fairness purposes? And if she's privately practicing immorality, be it heterosexual or homosexual, should that matter? By the way, Will Geer from the Waltons, Grandpa Walton, was a known homosexual. Would that affect how you feel watching the show? I believe I called him Greer before the break. Okay, let's go to the phones. A bunch more issues I want to raise relating to this, and then some wild news. We'll get to it. First, Mark in Raleigh, thanks for calling today.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, someone's sexual orientation is relevant to their ability to do a job. Just the mayor of Houston is openly gay and elected as openly gay, or the mayor of Gainesville, Florida, or the mayor of Spokane, or the mayor of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. They were elected with popular sentiment, popular vote. According to the poll, people don't care about people's sexual orientation for office, and it shouldn't matter for judgeship. They're you know, countless openly gay judges already. So why would she be disqualified, or would it be pertinent to her her job? I mean, many cities outlaw and states outlaw discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. I would hate to think that we would engage in that type of discrimination for a job. Now, I do care about her philosophy, her judicial philosophy, whether she's an activist judge or whether she believes in the Constitution. Those are relevant. I wouldn't discriminate against anyone because of their sexual orientation anymore. I discriminate someone because they're Jewish, or because they are Pentecost, or because they're Southern Baptist. Because the same as people of faith, the same sword that we wield against others can be wielded against us. Some would argue that evangelicals should not be in public office because of their bias on issues. But many evangelicals serve without bias because they realize that it's a secular job, and hopefully they will not bring bias to it any more than a gay or a bisexual or a Hindu person would to that position.
All right, so Mark, you raise a lot of great points, and again, you mentioned mayors, you know, most recently elected, the lesbian mayor of Houston. And obviously enough people thought that she could be a good leader. Now, she also did make clear that she's going to fight for gay and lesbian rights, so she is taking sides on issues, and those have to be factored in voting. But let's just take this one step further, okay? And you make great points, so I'm trying to think with you along these lines. When we talk about gay, lesbian rights or sexual discrimination based on, quote, sexual orientation, normally gay activists want us to add in the T word, transgender. What if we had a justice that was a cross-dresser? What if Justice Thomas, when he was being investigated or brought before the Senate, potentially to be on the Supreme Court, what if he, as a man, felt that his true identity was as a woman, so he started to dress as a woman at the hearings? Do you think that would be an issue that would be fair to bring up?
Would it be an issue that other people would take issue? Yeah, because it's a much more inflammatory and less accepted issue society than a gay person. Obviously, that would have political calculations are always taken into consideration, whether it be on the basis of, you know, of some prejudicial issue or whatever. I'm talking about me personally. Now, I wouldn't take it really into account. My question is, how will they rule on the bench? That's all I want to know. What type of philosophy? Do they have an activist position? Will they write the law into, will they write things into the Constitution that are not in there? Or will they be faithful to the framers' intent? Now, that's more of a liberal conservative issue. I think that's more pertinent to whether or not a justice will be a good justice or the kind of justice I would want. Obviously, I don't expect anything outside of the parameters of what Obama believes, so I'm realistic. However, we can ask questions that don't betray ourselves as prejudging people based upon things that are irrelevant to how they're going to rule on a case-by-case.
All right, so just last question, Mark, and I appreciate your clear thinking on this. If she was heterosexual but on a regular basis involved in affairs with married men, so committing adultery on a regular basis, but that was her private life, would that concern you in terms of clouding her moral judgment as a judge?
I mean, I would look at her body of, there's so many things that we could take into consideration that are personal in nature. My question is, how would that impair her ability to write decisions or to write sound, legally based decisions? And that, I mean, adultery may have some. I don't know. I really don't take that into consideration when we're talking about a judge. We're talking about maybe a senator or a president. Yes, that would be something that, when we're talking about a judge, really, I mean, we're talking about judicial philosophy. Here.
Got it.
How do you interpret the Constitution?
All right. So, listen, I appreciate you weighing in, Mark. We're up against a break, but thank you for the call and your thoughts, and we'll see how other listeners feel about it. So, in Mark's views, and he's obviously a clear-thinking gentleman here, we have laws in place in many of our states that prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing, by the way? That's one question to raise. But Mark feels fairly sure that someone's personal life or sexual orientation is not going to cloud or influence how they write legal decisions. Some might say, how in the world can you separate someone's personal life, especially when it's tied in with a lot of major social issues, from how they write decisions or interpret the Constitution? Great points. Something to think about. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Welcome back. back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Just another reminder, if you feel called to be trained and equipped to go out and make a difference in this world, be it to bring cultural reformation, be it in worship and intercession, be it as a church planter on the mission field, I know of no better place where you can study, be equipped, trained, and sent out than Fire School of Ministry. Find out about our Leadership Institute. Find out about our one-year immersion program. You can go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Fire School of Ministry. You can be 50, 30, 20. This could be the most important thing you have done in your life. Okay, back to our subject. Doesn't matter if President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan, is gay. Number one, do we at least need to know that? And number two, should that affect our decision-making? What we do know for sure is that when she was dean of the Harvard Law School, she came out very strongly against the military's don't ask, don't tell policy. And more specifically, she opposed the fact that Harvard was required, under pressure from President Bush, to have military recruiters on campus. And Harvard had opposed that in their protesting the government policy about homosexuals not serving openly in the Army. Mark from Raleigh, that we spoke to before the break, pointed to many successful gay mayors that we have, for example. Most recently in Houston, a woman, a lesbian, voted in. Known as a lesbian, voted in as mayor. Why is someone's sexual orientation influence their decision making? That's who they are privately. There's more to life than sexual orientation. Who really cares about that? I mean, why dredge this stuff up? And more importantly, we have laws in many states prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation. So you can't discriminate someone's. For example, the famous case in New Mexico with Elaine Photography, where a Christian photographer said no in good conscience she couldn't shoot a lesbian commitment ceremony. She was found guilty by the courts and fined for that. So lots of issues. We have on the phone with us from Chicago, Peter LaBarbera, who's published an important article on this that we have linked to our website. Peter leads Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Thanks for joining us today, Pete. Great to have you on the air.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right. Why do you think this is an issue? I mean, aren't we just, are these evangelicals like fixated on, are you gay or not? Or look, this is someone's going to be a judge and just judge impartially. Why in the world do we need to know her sexual orientation?
Well, I think we've come to the point, Mike, in society where when somebody has an abiding interest in the issue and there's so much discussion and it is a critical issue that she will be presiding over, and if she has a personal special interest, I think the public has a right to know. We're not out there trying to out every person who may struggle with homosexuality. However, I think there's a big difference in the public policy arena between, somebody who has a special interest and will be adjudicating or legislating on an issue, and if he has a bias, and I think the public has a right to know that, as opposed to someone who's just sort of private and has no influence over the course of this debate. I mean, you look at what's happened across the country, the Mark Foley situation, for example. Here was a guy who was known to be a homosexual years before that congressional page scandal broke, and I'm sure most of your listeners remember that. It helped bring down the Republican Party in the subsequent election. But, everybody in the know sort of understood that that Mark Foley had a special interest in homosexuality. He was telling his constituents, or his constituents didn't know, but a lot of other people knew, and he was legislating on that issue. I just think it's sort of at this point, it's the public's right to know when a person who's going to be, making decisions on that in public policy has that special interest.
All right. And let's say that she says, yes, I am a lesbian, but it will not affect or impair my judgment. I pledge to judge fairly. Would that then satisfy you, or would you not accept that answer so simply?
Well, I think then it's up to then at least that aspect of her life is out in the open. And we're not sort of playing games. What I think that's just up to what the representatives choose to do. And I've always said, for example, on the Republican issue, if you're a gay Republican and you want to run as a gay Republican, more power to you. It's the United States of America. What I resent is, especially in the conservative areas where we have people who are sort of hiding that. And by the way, Mike, you know, there are these outers like Mike Rogers, who's a homosexual activist who specializes in outing people. And these people become subject to gay pressure campaigns on the legislative side. So, you know, I think at that point, it's up to the way people vote. I would oppose her, I think, based on her policy record. I think she's strongly pro-homosexual. I think she's pro-abortion on demand and other aspects. So I would probably still oppose her, but at least we would have the openness, the honesty in that area. That's what we're calling for.
All right, last question then. What about the fact that we have laws on the books in numerous states in America prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation? So on the one hand, we don't want to discriminate against a potential Supreme Court justice based on sexual orientation. But do you think those laws are good laws as they stand now in these different states?
Well, I think those laws are very problematic, Mike, and we've already seen why. The record shows that there is a hostility between so-called gay rights and traditional freedoms that we cherish as Americans, especially our religious freedom, our freedom of conscience to disagree based on our faith or our moral persuasion. And so, you know, we see Kai Feldblum, who is President Obama's nominee for the Equal Employment Opportunity Committee Commission, which will be adjudicating ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, if it passes, which is the federal bill on sexual orientation. And Kai Feldblum is a lesbian activist, one of the most prominent homosexual activists in the United States, but at least she was honest enough to say that there is a zero-sum game between gay rights and religious freedom. Unfortunately, she says in most cases, the gays win. In fact, I think she was actually quoted, Mike, as saying, gays win, Christians lose.
Yeah, well, she said she can't, when the conflict is between sexual freedom or gay rights and religious rights, she said she can't think of a case where religious rights would win. So,
which bodes pretty poorly for us. And so I think we need to really look at these laws again. And I don't think most Americans are in favor of firing people because they're gay, but that's really not the issue anymore. In fact, I don't think there are many people who are fired because of homosexuality. I think we're approaching the time now where there's more people who are fired or discriminated against because they are Christians or are morally opposed to homosexuality. Those are the cases we're seeing more and more, and I think that battle, that loss of religious freedom using these so-called sexual orientation and gender identity laws, I think that's the bigger problem we face now as a society.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we'll be called homophobic and all that, but what else is new? If we're going to do things to avoid name-calling, then we have to avoid speaking the truth and following Jesus. But, Pete, we got a break. Thanks for calling in. You know, I'm finishing now the book I've been working on for some years that you know about, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And the last chapter I had to write, second to last in the book, is called Big Brother is Watching, and He Really is Gay, talking about the suppression of freedom of speech and freedom of religion in the name of gay rights. Hey, we've got a link to your website. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it, Pete.
God bless, Mike. Thanks.
Bless you. Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast today. As we talk about President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan, and ask the question, is she a practicing lesbian? If so, should we know? If she is, and we do know, will that matter in her decision-making? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue to me or even a conservative-liberal issue. We're only discussing it on the show because of potential moral implications. Before I go to the phones, let me just say this. There are plenty of heterosexuals who are allies of gays and lesbians and what they consider a struggle for equality and justice, quote, gay rights. There are plenty of heterosexuals who say, no, this is not a matter of rights. You don't redefine marriage based on someone's sexual orientation. You don't have special rights for people based on sexual orientation. So the debate can go both ways there, but I would say that the vast, vast majority of practicing homosexuals would have a sympathy towards, quote, gay rights And hence, this would influence someone's decision-making. At the very least, we should know it, as Pete LaBarbera from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality just argued. All right, let me go to the phones. Ben in Baltimore, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, hey, Dr. Brown, how's it going?
Great, thank you.
For your first question, do we need to know? I would say we definitely need to know, based on the fact that our public officials are supposed to be examples of model citizens. And I think this type of behavior, like their sexual orientation, is a direct reflection of their character. And I think we need to establish in our society that this type of behavior is wickedness, and that wickedness is not desirable.
All right, so Ben, let me ask you this then. I'm sure many of our conservative Christian listeners would agree with the statement that you made. Do you think that there are practicing homosexuals who in many other ways in their lives are extremely moral, reliable, trustworthy people, and heterosexuals who are wicked in other areas of their lives?
Do I think that they exist, like the supposedly moral homosexuals or moral in some aspect of their life?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say yes, but to a very limited extent. I wouldn't want a homosexual legislating or judging, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you would feel then that it is a practice of immorality that's in the core of their being, even if they're faithful to their partner, and therefore it's going to color, on a certain level, every area of their lives.
Every area of their life, yes. I think we need to establish that this is saturated wickedness of a human being, and it needs to be, like, it's almost like a mental illness, I believe. I don't think they're capable of judging or being like examples to children or model citizens.
Got it. All right. Hey, Ben, loud and clear. I appreciate you calling in. You have a blessed day.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you agree with what Ben said? Do you think it's overstated? Do you think it's holding out one sin or sinful lifestyle or aspect of our fallen nature higher or making it lower than other aspects? Would you say, no, he's absolutely right. This is practicing immorality on a serious level, and it colors everything in your life. Brian in Dugway, Utah, thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great, thank you.
Hey, this whole thing really makes me sad, you know? Where do we stop? I mean, obviously the first couple callers, you know, it seems like they don't care if there's any morals at all in the leaders at all, you know? And my question is, what if the person, you know, running for whatever government office was either a child molester or a murderer or what? I mean, obviously, some people like little kids. Where do you draw the line?
Right. So in your mind, then, our society has gone too far in terms of just saying, hey, this is not a choice. It's just who someone is. And some are heterosexual, some are homosexual. And what's the big deal? And again, where if you start moving the line, where does it end up? That's an obvious question. Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call, Brian. I appreciate it. And above all, let's be praying for Elena Kagan and for our nation. Amen?
Hey, will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
My wife and I are going to be in 1 week starting Liberty University Online. Pray for us, please.
All right. Hey, let's do it now, Lord. I just pray for Brian and his wife that you give them grace, clear minds, the ability to think, and take in the information they're supposed to that may be used to sharpen them in their kingdom walk. In Jesus' name, bless you, man. All right, we come back. I'm going to squeeze in one more call. That's Ken in Ogden, Utah. Let's see if I can get tomorrow. I got some wild news items, but maybe I'll save them for tomorrow. They'll be equally wild, and they're not pressing. Trust me, they're not pressing. Maybe I'll get you a few more calls. Stay with us. We'll be back. On the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. We have been talking about the new Supreme Court nominee, Elena Kagan. Is she fit for the court? We're not talking about 1,000 issues that are relevant. We're talking about one that's more of a moral, spiritual one. If she's a lesbian, should we know it? And if she is, does that affect whether she would make a good justice? We've had good, lively discussion on both sides of the issue. And I don't always weigh in and say amen or no or to every point. And you've got to listen to larger issues that we talk about to get my full view on things. So don't just take a soundbite here and there. But go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Get involved in the discussion. Weigh in either way. If you take offense with what a listener said, that's the best way for you to air your views. Okay. I'm going to go to the phones really quick. Ken in Ogden, Utah, we're very short on time, so dive right in, please.
Okay, thanks for having me. I think
sure.
We have to keep one thing in perspective. Okay, we're talking about two things, religious rights and individual rights. I happen to think we live in a country where somebody is valued regardless of what they believe in. Now, as a Christian, I think homosexuality is a sin. But as a human being, I think people who believe and practice and engage in homosexuality should have an equal footing as me as a Christian, because mm-hmm. if we go down the line of dissecting people based on their sexual preferences and things like that, then who is to say that we're not going to get to a point where there are going to be people who don't believe in Christ in the government and say, okay, forget about all Christians. If you're a
right.
practicing Christian, you cannot be in the Supreme Court. You cannot do this. So we need to be very careful about this. All I care for is this individual going to come in and interpret the laws accordingly? Is this person going to be fair? Is this person going to be a productive member? That's all I care about.
Hey, very clear, Ken. Thank you, sir, for weighing in. Let's see. EJ, California, how do you pronounce your city there?
It's Sassoon, California. Sassoon.
Okay, Sassoon. Yeah, all right. We're short on time, so please weigh right in.
So real quick, I have watched your debate, the Christian response to homosexuality, and I believe the issue is simply is that from the heart the mouth speaks, which is with a very clear biblical passage. So whatever you have in your heart, whatever your lifestyle is, if you are in leadership, that will always come through. So knowing what you believe, what you stand for, what you practice, and if you are called to be a leader, and if you're saying one thing but do something else, that shows a poor reflection. Because in the church, we are also held accountable to the same standards. Those in judgment and in politics should be held to the same standards as well. So if you're called to lead and to live an upright lifestyle as a judge, politician, or whatever, you also too have to be setting an example for everyone else. Because if you're not setting an example, then you are the now, quote-unquote, a hypocrite is what most people see what actually would use.
Got it. And ultimately, what's probably going to happen, as you're saying, is out of the heart, the mouth will speak, and that will influence things. Hey, thank you for being succinct and to the point. Appreciate it very much, EJ. Okay, we are out of time, but thank you each for the calls, for the input, and there was something important in what everyone had to say today. I just want to say a few summary things How's that for summing it up succinctly on my end? By all means, every American needs to be treated with dignity, respect, compassion, fairness, regardless of whether they're heterosexual, homosexual, young, old, regardless of whether they are sexually immoral as a heterosexual or sexually pure, they are still entitled to certain basic protections. No one has the right to beat that person up. No one has the right to be cruel to that person and cause them pain. We understand that. When we're talking about someone being the potential long-term serving member of the Supreme Court, by all means, something this is, if this person, Lena Kagan, has spoken out against Don't Ask, Don't Tell, then please don't put a Don't Ask, Don't Tell on us in terms of this situation. And more importantly, she would be sitting in major decision-making cases that could affect the nation in terms of religious freedoms, in terms of, quote, same-sex marriage. And therefore, it behooves us to know, and based on that, we evaluate accordingly whether she's fit to serve or not. Back with you tomorrow.